separate? Who can separate us? Who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine?
Today's healing message topic is no separation. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Genesis. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Psalms. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Genesis. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise. Lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Mark. And when Jesus came out and saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that has sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned by fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth in the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And from Science and Health. A knowledge of evil was never the essence of divinity or manhood. In the first chapter of Genesis, evil has no local habitation nor name. Creation is there represented as spiritual, entire, and good. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Error excludes itself from harmony. Sin is its own punishment. Truth guards the gateway to harmony. Error tills its own barren soil and buries itself in the ground, since ground and dust stand for nothingness. Inspired writers interpret the word spiritually, while the ordinary historian interprets it literally. Literally taken, the text is made to appear contradictory in some places, and divine love, which blessed the earth and gave it to man for a possession, is represented as changeable. The literal meaning would imply that God withheld from man the opportunity to reform, lest man should improve it and become better. But this is not the nature of God, who is love always, love infinitely wise and altogether lovely, who seeketh not her own. Truth should and does drive error out of all selfhood. Truth is a two-edged sword, guarding and guiding. Truth places the cherub wisdom at the gate of understanding to note the proper guests, radiant with mercy and justice. The sword of truth gleams afar and indicates the infinite distance between truth and error, between the material and spiritual, the unreal and real. The belief that man has existence or mind separate from God is a dying error. Jesus had taught his disciples the science of this proof. He was here to enable them to test his skill, his still uncomprehended saying, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." He claimed no intelligence, action, nor life separate from God. Spiritual man is the image or idea of God, an idea which cannot be lost nor separated from its divine principle. When the evidence before the material senses yielded to spiritual sense, the apostle declared that nothing could alienate him from God, from the sweet sense and presence of life and truth. It is ignorance and false belief based on a material sense of things which hide spiritual beauty and goodness. Understanding this, Paul said, "Neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Jesus was the son of a virgin. He was appointed to speak God's word and to appear to mortals in such a form of humanity as they could understand as well as perceive. Mary's conception of him was spiritual, for only purity could reflect truth and love, which were plainly incarnate in the good and pure Christ Jesus. He expressed the highest type of divinity which a fleshly form could express in that age. Into the real and ideal man, the fleshly element cannot enter. Thus it is that Christ illustrates the coincidence or spiritual agreement between God and man in his image. It has been demonstrated to me that life is God, and that the might of omnipotent spirit shares not its strength with matter or with human will. I cannot fail to discern the coincidence of the spiritual idea of man with the divine mind. Revelation 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Agassiz, through his microscope, saw the sun in an egg at a point of so-called embryonic life. Because of his more spiritual vision, St. John saw an angel standing in the sun. The revelator beheld the spiritual idea from the mount of vision. The revelator saw also the spiritual ideal as woman clothed in light, a bride coming down from heaven, wedded to the Lamb of love. To John, the bride and the Lamb represented the correlation of divine principle and spiritual idea, God and his Christ, bringing harmony to earth. John saw the human and divine coincidence shown in the man Jesus as divinity embracing humanity in life and its demonstration, reducing to human perception and understanding the life which is God. In divine revelation, material and corporeal selfhood disappear, and the spiritual idea is understood. The woman in the apocalypse symbolizes generic man, the spiritual idea of God. She illustrates the coincidence of God and man as the divine principle and divine idea. Let us rid ourselves of the belief that man is separated from God, and obey only the divine principle and love. This is the great point of departure for all true spiritual growth. Christ is the way and the truth, casting out all error. Jesus called himself the Son of Man, but not the Son of Joseph. As woman is but a species of the genera, he was literally the Son of Man. Jesus was the highest human concept of the perfect man. He was inseparable from Christ, the Messiah, the divine idea of God outside the flesh. This enabled Jesus to demonstrate his control over matter. Angels announced to the wise men of old this dual appearing, and angels whisper it through faith to the hungering heart in every age. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now we'll begin the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to an instrumental version of In This Very Room. Let's now pray in silence for a few minutes, then join together in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical expression of the Lord's Prayer. And together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
For thine is the kingdom.